Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. What an exciting day yesterday at Mass. What a powerful moment to remember. You know, we're making our way here to the end of the church year, beginning the season of Advent. And Sunday, you know, the church describes it as the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. I want to say it again. We celebrated the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. Mary's Son, brothers and sisters, is now reigning at the right hand of the Father in glory, having swallowed up death in victory, having destroyed the principalities and powers, having established his kingdom here on earth, the mustard seed that he established, the leaven that he established that's growing, and he's tending it. And even times like this that are so difficult, there's so much testing, so much shaking going on in the culture and life, and it's disturbing. But the Lord, the King of all, the King of the universe, is allowing this to happen. He's allowing this to happen because, honestly, it's the most loving thing he can do. Why? Because his judgments are in the land. His judgments are in the earth. The nations are shaking. Sin, bondage, spiritual strongholds, things like this are being manifested inside the church, outside the church. And the Lord is creating the ideal environment for human beings to come to face to face with their mortality, with their fears, with their compromise, with their sin, and begin to see themselves in relationship to God, because the idols that people cling to, that they find their identity in, are shaking. And the Lord himself has to do that. He prefers to come in mercy and for people to just freely surrender themselves to the gift of his lordship and majesty and the gift of salvation and to come. And he wants the whole world to enter into the kingdom. But people have to do it by choice. People have to do it because they've heard the gospel. People have to do it because they're responding to the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit in some way in their life. And they're recognizing their sinfulness before God. They're bowing down before him, and they're acknowledging the fundamental fact that the Father wants everybody to see now in this time of mercy between the two comings of Jesus. When he came as a lamb, the first time he laid down his life for the salvation of the world, he made his life an offering. He revealed to us the truth about the origin of humanity, what life on earth is really meant to be, who we are in the Father's plan. He revealed the condition of the human heart, the sin-sick condition of the human heart. He unmasked the kingdom of darkness, the demonic forces that are set against the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. And he disarmed those principalities and powers. Those powers on the, I mean, the kingdom of darkness is a great power from a human perspective. It's much greater than human strength, but it's nothing compared to the King, nothing compared to the King of the universe. And he came and he disarmed the principalities and powers. He brought down the false kingdom, the counter kingdom, the kingdom of darkness that really, friends, is behind so much of the chaos and the apostasy and the rebellion against God and the violence and the hatred and the division in the culture and in societies. He's the one who's stirring it all up. Jesus brought down his power, that is the claim the devil has to not only disrupt human beings here in this world and try to lead them to bondage, but he had claim on their eternal destiny, because they had no way of coming out from under the dominion of the powers of sin and death due to the reality of original sin, the fall of humanity from glory and being trapped by the sin. But Jesus disarmed that. So the devil, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There's freedom. Jesus said, I came to give you life. I came to give you my joy. I came to give you a share in the kingdom. I came to give you my Holy Spirit. I came to give you what belongs to me. I have won the victory. I'm going home to my Father. But how is he going home, friends? He's going home as the victorious King. The Father's plan that the Son would begin a new creation, that he would set human beings who were meant to live with God in glory, you know, who had fallen from glory into the slavery of the power of sin and death. The Son came to save us, to break that regime of powers that's at work in bondage, you know, holding the human race in bondage, and one by one, he's setting them free. And he's made a pathway. He's created a highway home to God the Father. He's passed through death, our great enemy, and he's rising now. He rose to eternal life forever, and he entered back into heaven in the flesh that he received from Our Lady, the flesh of a human being, you know? He's the God-man, but he takes us with him. He's the second Adam. And now the future has begun because he's reigning in glory, never to be opposed again successfully, never to be ultimately disrupted. Human history will not waver from the course of the authority that King Jesus has over it. It's destined for a full revelation of Jesus. And we'll see that. We see that this week in the readings as well, because the churches were at the end of the church year. We're looking at, you know, the kingship and the ultimate victory of Jesus. We began with the Old Testament, and we began with the leading up to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. We move through all his teaching through the church year. We get to the passion, the great battle that he fought for us on the cross and that he won, and he's absolute victor. He's the Lord. And the new creation has begun. The church is established at the right hand of the Father. And even though kingdoms and civilizations are going to pass away, the whole earth is going to pass away. He's going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. But what won't pass away are eternal creatures. Some will come into the share of eternal life with him at the right hand of the Father. Others will live in eternity, separated from God in hell. And that's what the readings are talking about this week. Pay attention to them. They're talking about, from the book of Revelation and other places, the reality of the final judgment. There's coming a time when the kingdom of this world has already been judged in the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. He is the victor. He's the one who's right. He's the truth. He's the truth about God and humanity and our destiny. And he exposed the principalities and powers for what they really are: deceiver, liars, murderers, rebellious spirits that are set against the kingdom of God. But the ultimate war is over, friends. The devil is not going to win a victory. He cannot defeat Christ. All those who are in Jesus are walking in the power and the life and the protection and the anointing of the Messiah King, Jesus. Those who are yielded to him, have repented of their sins, have received baptism and forgiveness, and have entered the church and are moving in his grace. The devil has no hold on us. Jesus said the devil had no hold on him. And when we're baptized into Jesus, that's the condition we're in. Now, the only way the devil has any hold on us is if we give up our freedom that we have in Christ. And we say yes to serious sin. We say yes to his deceptions and lies. We can fall into slavery again, but repentance can get us out of it, and getting to confession and aligning our lives with Jesus. So, friends, as we make our way through these very difficult and unstable times, and people are filled with fear and they're trying to find their hope in politics, they're trying to find their hope in holding on to their treasure, you know, their material treasures. They're trying to find hope in distraction and addictions and other kinds of things. Understand that this shaking is a grace. It's a severe mercy that the Lord is allowing to have happen so human beings can come to terms with where they stand before God and can actually see the emptiness of the idols that we cling to and to turn to God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, I believe I have it right. It says, when the prophet Isaiah said, when God's judgments are in the nations, human beings find righteousness. Righteousness, because what's righteousness? It's a bright relationship to God, loving God, seeing God, having a healthy, healthy awe of the majesty and power of the King. And this can happen in this life, whereby God's grace, we come to see it and we say yes to it. We repent, we turn to Jesus, we say, we recognize him as the King of the universe, and we say, you're my King. I want to follow you. I want to belong to you. I want you to live at the center of my life. I want you to be the reason for my life. You are the standard. You're the truth. I want to be in the truth and live the truth. And in this life, you can receive that mercy and enter into his kingdom now, and share in the life that belongs to him, that he alone has a capacity to give us. Friends, to enter into the life of the King, You have to be baptized into him. You have to be able to, you know, confess him and to receive the literal life that belongs to him. It's not just symbolic, but you get baptized into the life of the king. The new creation, the kingdom, begins to come alive in you because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to dwell in you as in a temple. And he literally transfers us from one kingdom to the next. And the kingdom, entering that kingdom, is made possible by saying yes to the terms that he himself has set up for entry into the kingdom. We can't drift through this world. We can't live as the kings of our own lives or queens of our own lives here on this earth, determining for ourselves what our truth is going to be, what our way is going to be, and then announce it to everybody, including God. No, the only way into the kingdom is to bow down, is to acknowledge and to humble yourself and to acknowledge the gift of the king that the Father has given to us. You know, the apostles have such beautiful passages in the writings. They talk about the greatness of Jesus. I just want to end the program today with this from Colossians chapter 1 on the supremacy of Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And part of this whole thing, brothers and sisters, is acknowledging, I was made through you. I was made for you. You're the one who not only saves and rescues me, you're the one who shows me who I am. I can't even understand who I am apart from you. Friends, that's why there's so much madness and insanity in the world, is because the sort of dominant intellectual framework that's rising in the culture, and in this secular culture, is the idea that there's no truth but my experience and the declaration of my sort of radical autonomy as to what freedom is and what truth is. It's a rejection of objective truth that leads, friends, to craziness. It leads to madness. It's a denial of the fact of the truth of God, of the fact of the truth of his Son, of the fact that we are made in his image and likeness, and are the only way we can find, we can lay hold of reality to ever know the truth is to receive it. It's to receive it from our King who comes to us in mercy. And the world is running around with clenched fist raised high. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the definer of my own truth, right? And then what it does is it reduces the world to big, giant power struggles of one group after another. And the only thing that's true is that the world is, you know, separated between oppressed and oppressors. And it's a zero-sum game of fighting against one another. What did our King do who has all power and authority? He came and he laid his life down in humility. He said, this is the way to life. This is the way to life. Surrender, make your life an offering. The reading goes on and says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's holding you together. He's holding us together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The Father has organized all things that his Son might be preeminent. The question is he preeminent in your life? Is he first in your life? Have you surrendered your heart completely to him? Have you entered his church? Are you living now in the kingdom for the King and making the most of your life? God bless you, friends. Have a great day. Rejoice in your King. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.